8 and 9. So, everyone, this is Nate.
How you doing? I'm Nate. I'm an alcoholic. Really, really grateful to be here. This meeting and the men in this meeting are very dear to me. Very, very dear to me. I've been through this work. It's laid out in the big book with a big book Step City sponsor, a caring, loving, and gentle God. From going to meetings like this and having spiritual experiences, listening to the people who've done it before me. And if I say anything that maybe that would be a takeaway is to continue, as my sponsor told me, continue to stay around with, hang out with the people who keep you accountable. And I found that it's the people who've done this work who've kept me most accountable, you know, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. Just being around these guys and being around people like them, the men and women who've done this work before us, has just that alone has changed my life. You know, I had a spiritual awakening from this work, and it was sufficient enough for a psychic change, and it's happened multiple times. I also have experience not doing this work, and I know what it's like to be absolutely sober and miserable and living every crevice of the bedevilment, you know, and that is painful. There's no solution that I was using. You know, there's no drugs. There's nobody to blame anything else on. You know what I mean? So, I think that was probably one of the darkest areas of my life. And I was like 5.5, 6 years sober, and I wasn't a homicidal or a suicidal person. I was homicidal. It was like rob a bank, kill baby mama, or like drink. You know what I mean? It was like those were my decisions. So my first drink was at 12. My first rehab at 16. From 16 to 31, I tried to figure out how to drink. You know, arrest after arrest, DUI after DUI, brawl after brawl, problem after problem, peed bed after peed bed. I was a peer. I peed on everything from every couch in East Falmouth, at least. You know what I mean? Like, I was fucking so bad. I don't even know how that happens. Like, but I peed at everything. So. Like, I just couldn't stop, you know what I mean? It's like, I was an alcoholic. I suffered from, like, the phenomenon of craving, like a mental obsession, right? I'd mentally obsess how I could drink, because I was a binge drinker. I'd mentally obsess over how I could drink in safety. Then I'd physically compulse. I'd come up with this great idea. My life was like a series, that it says in the book, a series of self-deception experimentation, right? Drink until the wheels fall off. Never land the plane. Just crash it, nose down. Right, smoke and everything clears, and I start thinking, my alcoholic mind takes over. I'm mentally obsessed how I could drink in safety, and then I physically compulse because I have this bright idea that maybe I just get a little bit better coke because I loved cocaine because cocaine allowed me to drink more. Maybe I just do, I got it, I'll just drink a little bit of water in between all the shots. You know, I probably just dehydrated, you know what I mean? There was a million of them. Name them. I thought of it. I thought of that was the cure. That was the magic bullet. And so, mental obsession, physical compulsion. Once I start, I can't fucking stop. You know. And I had to come to the realization that I'm never not an alcoholic. I'll never be unalcoholic. You know. And first drink at 12, first rehab at 16, 16 to 31, I tried to control this, and then finally I had enough. I was beaten into a state of reasonableness. My sobriety date is 1/1/2011, but for the grace of God, I found these halls. You know, my family didn't want me. My father lived with his wife at the time. Well, that's his wife still. His wife out in Yarmouth. I'd never been to Yarmouth. I don't know anything about Yarmouth. All I know is he had a bed for me, and I lived down there, and it was like, you know, long story short, a bunch of shit happened. I'm 31 years old, no car, no job, you know, oh, thousands of dollars. I'm in like the worst spot of my life. I just got the shit kicked out of me by some kid who had no business kicking the shit out of me, but I was like one of those guys who was just sober enough to start a fight, but too drunk to finish it. You know what I mean? It was like, and the kid handed it to me, and I'm hiding in my room in my father's basement, and hiding from my daughter because I'm so badly beaten up. And I remember lights off, crying, and I was like, that was it. Like, I tapped out, you know, because I'm Superman to that little girl. You know what I mean? It's like I'm hiding from a 3 or 2 year old at the time, or something. and I could hear her feet running. It was just, you know, one of those real messed up, you know, moments. It's like the moment of truth. What are you going to do? You know, so I reached out to a friend, started going to some meetings. Long story short, the guy who ended up living across the street, I bumped into him at a meeting one time. I was like, don't you live over there? And like, and the guy had like really clean yard. He dressed nice. He was a good person. He like had all these people coming in and out of the house. And I only like came to two conclusions. The guy was really popular or he sold meth. And I didn't know which one was which, right? And then I saw him at a meeting and then it was like, hey, and then it's like I heard him speak one time, I'm like, hey, and then I called him up and it was like, and that guy just helped, so happened to be, you know, sober for like 28 years, 27 years at the time, something along those lines, maybe not that much, but regardless. But here's the most important part. He was a Big Book Step Study guy and he did the work as is laid out in the Big Book with a Big Book Step Study sponsor, and that man helped me change my life, you know. Went through the work, had a spiritual awakening, had a fifth step, and you want to talk about rocketed into a fifth dimension, you know, absolutely rocketed. It was such an amazing experience, it was like, I don't know what an out-of-body experience is, but if I did have one, that was that moment, when he told me just to stop talking and just read what you wrote. I had that alignment with my higher power. It was the most amazing time, most amazing experience in my life, you know, it was phenomenal. So went through that process, had a spiritual awakening, started getting into 9, 10, 11, and 12, started making amends to my parents. I did my list. Remember doing my list at, I think it's Seagull Beach out in Yarmouth. I had like 20 people. I called them up. I'm like, hey, I'm ready to do that. How many people you guys? Like 20. Like, yeah, keep going. You know, like, might be better. Keep praying about that. Why don't you get a couple more? I think 20 turned into like 80, if I got that correct. You know, pushing to do 9, 10, you know, so 8's done at that point. So then I'm doing 9, 10, 11, and both parts of 12 if I'm doing everything correctly. But here's the catch, like, it just so happens I got into a relationship right around that time, you know what I mean? So that was the plight of my demise, I guess you could say, the beginning of the downfall, you know, like... But what happened is, like, just exactly what my sponsor predicted. And I have two sponsors now, and they both hate being called sponsors. So just what my spiritual advisor said was going to happened. You know, there's only so many things we could fit on the plate. And, of course, AA went. So from that point on, it was like 3 years, a breakup, me stalking this girl because she was my spiritual solution. Because no matter what, I suffer from a spiritual malady, right? I'm restless, I'm irritable, I'm discontented. There's nothing I could do about that except find a spiritual solution. So what did I do? I did what every other normal alcoholic would do. I'd fall in love with a girl and like try to duct tape myself to her life and like make my life better through her life. And that didn't work and she wanted out and I didn't want her to go. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, please don't. I'll do anything. You go to a meeting, I'll do anything but that, you know? And that's not the truth, really. The truth is that, like, I was messed up, and I didn't even know it, and I thought she was my solution, and, like, I really didn't know how bad a spot I was, and then down and down I went, and it went 3 years, and I hate talking about that. I hate talking about how long I went to meetings here and there, because I was, you know, it was like one of those, it was like 911 meetings. It's like, I'm in pain, let me go. I get a little relief from this, let me go to this meeting here, and, you know, that kind of thing. So long story short, I was messed up, like, a year ago, August 1st. On staging, crying, suffering from the bedevilments, texting my sponsor, my spiritual advisor, and saying, I didn't bring my book with me, but because I wrote it down in my book, but the gist of the text was, I'm going to drink. My messed up alcoholic mind thinks it's a great idea so I can redo my fourth step. You know? And it was like jump off time. And that was like my first time reaching for help and out for help in a long time. Like I was living like a life of isolation and like barely going to meetings and like 13 stepping girls. And like, and I couldn't even do that right. I had a girl like 8 months sober break up with me because I was such a bastard. You know what I mean? It's like, what is wrong with me? You know what I mean? I was just so badly beaten. And finally I reached out for help. And then we started going back to meetings. I started doing the work. And, like, I know I'm on step 8 and 9, and I promise you I'll get there. So what I have to do is, like, I had to do the work, because it's like when boxers are in a jam and then they're in the corner, they have to, like, counterpunch their way out. For me, I found that my counterpunch is the writing. You know, I was writing this stuff out, is to do the work, do the legwork, and do the heavy lifting, and that's exactly what I had to do, and I ended up doing an enormous 10-step. And I went through that process with my original spiritual advisor, and we ended up doing, you know, a 10-step, and ended up doing a 5th-step, and then it was funny, when we finished the 5th again, and I had some sort of shift going on, and he didn't say this to me the first time, but he said it to me the second time, and he said, you know, just so you know, we might have jarred something loose, so in a couple of days you might feel something. And it was like the biggest premonition of my life, because after that point, a couple of days later, something shifted inside of me, and I was a sobbing mess for 3 weeks. I never cried so much in my life. I was so soul sick. I was so, like, Buddha says it's like that resentment is like taking hot coals and waiting to throw at somebody. You know what I mean? And it's like, I realized after all the work that I just recently did last year, that I was like taking those hot coals and eating them, and I was internalizing everything. And like when I finally did this work again, I removed that rubble. I let the sunlight of the spirit hit me again. I realized there was a lot of hurt and a lot of rubble in there, and I needed to take care of it. You know, and for 3 weeks, there was a shift that was going on inside of me, and I wept all the time. It's like, try working with your tool belt on framing with a bunch of gorillas, and you're like, like, you know what I mean? Like, framing up walls and shit, and they're like, what the fuck is wrong with you? They're like, I don't know! You know what I mean? I have no clue what's wrong with me. You know? And like, wanting to fight them, but don't, because you're like, you're just sad. I don't know. You don't have any scrap left. I'm just so sick of all that crap anyways. But so long story short is like, what I was so sick of feeling that. And like the only thing I could do was listen to Christian music, right? I couldn't listen to rap or rock, or I could listen to Christian music and pray. And I was just so twisted up. And I never felt this way ever in my life. I couldn't even explain it. And then something came over me one day, and I was just finally, I was so sick of feeling this way. And I remember that I had an 8-step list that was like dusty, so to speak. And finally, I called up this woman who I lived with her. She took me in when I was like 16. Her son and I were like really close friends, and we caused a lot of damage in that house. And she lived in Connecticut, and something just spoke to me to like reach out to her. So I dialed up the phone and I said, you know, I'd like to make an appointment to come see you. And I'm like still a mess internally. And she's like, yeah, how about tomorrow? I'm going to church. And that was Saturday. And I was like, yeah, perfect. You know, and I called another person who was like my best friend and my best friend to this day. And I really, really wronged her in that time period from when I did my first 5th-step until, you know, till that exact moment. And I called her up, and she's like, hey, well, I've got some time right now. You want to come by? Like, if you're all right with it, I'm all right with it. So I came by, and I made an amends to her. And at the time, I was a huge mess. So, like, I tried when I approach these people, when I approach anybody who I'm trying to talk to, trying to make an amends to, I don't listen to rap music. I'm not listening to Jadakiss or DMX before I get there. I'm trying to get into some sort of spiritual spot. I'm asking for help. I try to be quiet. I try to be humble. I try to be thorough. I try to be honest, right? And I try to be spiritually aligned with God's will before I make approach to these people, you know? And I try never to cry, because it's one thing to like ask for, like, to make the amends and then basically ask them for like emotional support too, because that's basically what they're gonna do whether I like it or not. I feel like that's some sort of self-seeking at some point. But with that being said, I'm in this huge emotional fuckness. I don't even know what you call it, right? And I try to do everything thoroughly. I am completely honest with her, that I just break down, you know, and she's like, you know, it's all right. You know what I mean? It's like, thank you for being honest. And she was crying and I was crying, and you know, there was some convoluted things. And then we were able to, like, I owed her a couple of bucks. We got some stuff squared away. I came there. So I also was the king of making financial amends with no money. Like, that doesn't work. Like, show up with something. I don't care if it's a dollar. You show up to, you, like, I, my experience only, right? Like for me, I don't care what next financial amends I make, it's going to be something, you know. And I made sure that I came there with $100. Say, here you go. Like, you know, we're gonna get on track and stay on track with this. And I was able to clear that up too. And I was thorough with her. We went through everything. I asked her a very important question. Is there anything you think I missed? You know, and if there was, let's hear it. You know, and if do you feel satisfied with this situation? You know, and she did. But if they don't, and sometimes they don't, you know, I got to let them hear it. I got to let them, you know, they're going to give it to me, give it to me. You know, I probably, you know, deserve it on some level. You know what I mean? But that's between God and them and me, and whatever happens, happens. And that's like part of like the trust and rely part. So that was on a Saturday. Sunday morning, I go up, drive 2 hours to Connecticut, crying the whole way, crying all day. Of course, there's like a baptism, the baby's getting baptized. I'm crying her through all that. We make an amends. I'm thorough. I approach her as spiritually sound as I possibly could be at that moment. And was thorough. Went through the entire like situation while I was living her. Like I was dealing drugs out of your place. Like I didn't pay rent. Like, you know, I was 16, but you know, just going through step by step. You know, and for like every single amends I've ever made, no, don't worry about it, don't worry about it. It's like, no, please just let me do this. Just please let me be thorough. There's like, I know that thoroughness is part of that honesty, and that honesty is part of that like God's will thing that I keep talking about, right? And that like if I really want to be aligned with God's will, that I have to be thorough and I have to put myself out there. No matter if they stop me or not, I don't take meds. Like when I go to give them money, they don't want to take it. It's like, hey, go buy beer. I don't give a shit. Light it on fire when I leave. I don't care. It's not my money. It's your money. You know what I mean? But long story short is this, and I'll wrap this up. Is like, so finally for me, like getting back into 8 and 9, pulling myself out of that spiritual sickness. And what followed was like, I went home. I wrote some inventory that night. I woke up. I meditated the following day, right? So that's Monday. I picked somebody up for work. I talked to a sponsee, right? And then like my life started like getting a little better the next day. And I suddenly that like that tension and that dark cloud and that like that emotional twist that I had inside of me like started going away a little bit. And then I finally realized something, that I did like step 8, step 9, step 10, 11, and both parts of 12, probably for the first time in like 4 years, 3 years, you know. And what was I doing? I was aligning my will with my higher power's will. And for me, that all started where I left off, and that was on step 9, and that was making the amends, and that was humbling myself in front of these people who I've wronged, you know. And I made my most recent one, and I'll end with this one. Was a kid who was from 7th and 8th grade. And I made a couple more from there, from this. But this one was like a pretty cool one. 7th and 8th grade, this kid was, I used the N-word, and he was a black kid. And that's a big no-no. It was a big no-no then, it's a big no-no now. You know, he's human, you know? And I remember, he lived in New Bedford, and I was in New Bedford, and I got him through Facebook, and I said, hey man, like, can we meet up? And we went to a cafe and we met up. And I said, I kind of was like, hey, you know, I'm here to make an amends. This is like, I'm in a 12-step program, and this is part of our process. And my process is to atone my wrongs, you know, to right the wrong, to set the record straight, you know. And I used this word against you. And when we were in an argument, and for no reason, he was a real innocent, quiet kid. I was just being a dick. I was just being a bully. I hated myself, I hated everybody around me, I hated God, I was prejudiced against everything and everybody, you know, and I wanted him to know it, you know. And he's like, I don't know, Nate, I don't even remember. He's like, what grade was that? I was like, that was my 7th year, 8th. He's like, oh, he's like, you know why I don't remember? Because in 7th grade, my parents got divorced, and in 8th grade, my dad killed himself. I was like, gulp, right? And it was like, and I don't know, maybe subconsciously he knew, and I don't know if that amends was for him or for me or for whatever it is. It's just, we never know what we put these people through, you know? We never know what they're going through at that time. And we never know, like, what kind of impact we're actually going to have on them, big or small. Because what might have been small for them at that time or it might have been small for us at that time, it could be enormous for them, because you never know if they're like just being the strong, silent type and burying their father because he just killed himself earlier that year. You know what I mean? He didn't even remember this. I don't know what my takeaway was supposed to be from that amends, but I do know that I am like thoroughly glad that like I was able to like rebound my life, pull myself out of these bedevilments, but for the grace of God, I was able to reunite with my spiritual advisor and go through this process again and rekindle these relationships and make amends to the right people, the people that were originally on my list, because he was originally on my list. And I can tell you this, my life has changed since. You know, I had another spiritual awakening, another psychic change, and I've been able to keep up 9, 10, 11, and both parts of 12, and phenomenal things that happened in my life. I'm 7 years sober, and I could say this, the promises are finally happening in my life, but for the grace of God, you know, and that's because I'm helping out other people, you know, I'm bringing guys through the book, I'm bringing guys through this process, like, I'm taking care of my shit so I can help people take care of theirs, like, I'm improving my life so I can help other people improve theirs, you know, and my life has completely changed because of it in a year, you know. So if you're like, you're here, I could say this, like, we stand on the shoulders of giants in here. You know what I mean? Like, find somebody who speaks to you. You know what I mean? Like, ask for help. It'll change your life. I promise you, it changed mine. You know what I mean? And, like, I am so grateful for the men in this room. Because my sponsor was the type of guy to say, yeah, go hang out with them. I hung out with Bobby's house multiple times, Erlen's house multiple times, Steve's house multiple times. I've had multiple, you know, just these little, you know, meetings and just friendships and, like, bonds with guys who've been through this process. And it's such an uplifting thing, you know what I mean, to have these connections with these people, you know what I mean? And it all started in this room with these guys here, you know, and I owe my life to that. I owe my life to this process. And you know, I'm in the Falmouth area. If anyone's looking for help, I'd be more than happy to help you. You know, I know what it's like. And if you're struggling right now, like, hey, welcome. Welcome here. If you do heroin, welcome. You know what I mean? If you've got a gambling problem, welcome. You know, whatever it is, man, like, there's solutions in this room, and there's the guys who probably lived through it. You know, there's some giants in here for sure, you know what I mean? So, I wish you all, like, if you write and keep writing, you know, I wish you all happiness and love, and that's it. Thank you.